Hey guys, back for another episode of Rap. I feel like we should have had something like an intro song here at this point, like it's Raining Men or it's something like that, because we're talking today about a flood.
It's Raining Men?
I don't really know. That's all I could think of. Oh, raindrops, keep falling on my head. That'd be a good one too.
I was like, there's so many songs about rain.
I know, there's so many, but that's all I could really think of in the moment. That's not really a song that I, you know, sit and listen to a lot, but it was just in my head. So raindrops keep falling on my head. You have one? You have like a thing that you're, the theme of raining?
Wasn't there a Stephen Curtis Chapman song about rain?
Oh, I can't remember. Possibly. Yeah. Not really sure.
A lot of songs about
Why can't we not think of any songs
Oceans,
that have
Oceans? That's kind of watery.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about like raindrops. Anyways, as we sit and talk about obscure songs and everybody's questioning me right now, I was like, it's raining, man. I don't get it. I don't know. Just in my head for some reason. We are today talking about Noah.
Yes.
Flood Ark. And last week, of course, we talked about Adam and Eve, sin, garden, how all that enters the world, and you know, people are like, "Great, let's move past that."
It got worse from there.
We don't get to do that. In fact, as I continue to study, and like next time we come on here, this first section of the Bible, Genesis 1-11, wow, it is just messed up. I mean, Genesis 1, Genesis 2, that's good. Creation, Adam and Eve are put into the garden. Everything like, whoa, this is really great. Genesis 3, there is no better, you know.
It just spirals really quickly.
It does. Genesis 3, the fall of man. Genesis 4, Cain kills Abel, you know. Genesis 6, where we are today, flood, and I have to start everything over again. Then you get to Genesis chapter, you know, there's all the stuff that happens in there, but Genesis 11, another biggie, Tower of Babel, which we don't really talk about, but it's just spiraling out of control. And one thing that we've talked about, we try to emphasize, is number one, we really have to, again, the Bible is one unified story. There are themes that carry all the way through the Bible, but the Bible does have certain subunits to it.
Right.
And one of those is Genesis 1-11 is sort of its own subunit of, if you will, like the beginning of history and mankind.
Kind of the backstory.
The backstory of like, why are we the way we are today?
Yeah, why are we so messed up?
So we're going to talk about next time, once we get past Noah and the Ark today, we start to talk about Abraham, and that begins kind of another subunit. The same themes are going on throughout the whole time. But like I said, it's very important just to kind of get that idea that we're in this subunit of, like, I just call it the spiral, man, the downward spiral of society. And so, like I said, we're going to talk today and continue to talk about this concept of sin and sinfulness. But above that, and again, what's going to carry us also into next week, is this concept of obedience and faith. And I guess just, man, there's so much to talk about with Noah and the flood. I mean, how do you try to compress all this down and talk about? What to you stands out in the story of Noah and the flood?
What I think stands out to me is the fact that Noah was the only one. And I think about that, how much he... it's not said as much in the account, but you know he had been really ridiculed.
Oh yeah.
I mean, the dude was building a boat in the desert.
Yeah. You know? Hundreds of miles from
telling them the water
ocean
was gonna fall from the sky. You know,
when they'd never seen that before.
And yet he kept going.
Kept going.
Faithful. He did everything just as the Lord had told him to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that screams of dedication to God. And you know, even in the times when he could have given up, and it was probably backbreaking labor to build that boat.
I mean, how long remember,
it was like 120 years.
Years.
I mean, it was a long time.
And again, he's not just building a boat too, he's preaching at the same time, preaching this for 120 years. What's very interesting about this, and again, something we haven't really talked about yet, not even on Sunday morning, is if you're moving through the beginning of Genesis, there are what they call in Hebrew the toledot, which means generations. And so you'll notice that something happens, like, for instance, Adam, he is the beginning of a generation. And then what happens is you move through the end of a generation of the first section of Toledot. It ends as Noah begins, and that he is the second section, the second Toledot, the second generations mm-hmm. of what happens in the book of Genesis. And what's really interesting as we continue to kind of follow this story, and this is what's so great about this Bible journey that we're in, this Bible engagement, is I've never really seen a story like this and how things continue to recur over and over mm-hmm. again. And it's almost as if you get to the end of one generation or Toledot, as they would say in Hebrew, it's almost like all hope is being lost. Like this is the last chance, you know, for this generation. And then you have someone like, for today, Noah comes on the scene. Right. And then all of Noah's generation, and it ends with, and again, I'm getting a little ahead, but want to make a good seg for next week. At the end of Noah's generations is a man named Terah. And Terah is the father of Abraham. Mm-hmm. Then Abraham begins a whole other section in the Bible. So it's like it's almost like the candle is being snuffed out every time, and then somebody comes yeah. into the story yeah. to kind of try to... And again, we've talked about this, right? This is not a mistake, because I'm convinced that the whole biblical story is a process and a kind of a cycle of creation, decreation, or devolution, or mm-hmm. goes back into chaos, and then recreation.
Right.
So it's almost like
God's interjecting life in there every.
He is. He's saying, yeah. "Oh, you may think that it's coming to an end, but I'm just yeah. getting started, and I'm starting a new beginning.
Right.
Whether it be Adam, whether it be Noah that we'll talk about today, whether it be Abraham we'll talk about next time. There's always someone that comes right. in until we eventually understand that everything pushes and points towards Jesus Christ.
Well, and it kind of gives you that symbolism of the sacrifices, right? The Old Testament sacrifices, where every time they had to go back and re-sacrifice. And yeah. every time you're seeing someone else come on the scene and pull God's people together. And,
yep.
and then finally you have Jesus who yeah. just does it and once and for all.
Yeah,
and,
exactly. Yeah. That's why it says in the New Testament, Jesus was the sacrifice once for all. No need for sacrifice anymore. He's yeah. it. We don't yeah. need to keep going through this process and yeah. this cycle over and over again. He's it. He has made you now a new creation. Anyways, sorry. Big picture stuff yeah, there. Right? And now let's rein it back into this Noah and the flood. And you said what stands out to you again was what?
Yeah, the fact that he kind of stood out.
Yeah, he right? stood out. Like
he stuck to it.
And again, people would ask, how what was the population of the earth at this time? Nobody knows. But it does say at the very beginning of his section there, people were taking up the mandate that God had given Adam, be fruitful and multiply, yeah. and population yeah,
you
get was
the,
exploding.
You get the idea that there was a good amount of people.
But to say that amongst all of the people that are multiplying on that earth, one guy man. Is in God's eyes blameless, perfect, right?
That's wow. unbelievable, isn't it?
That's insane.
And we think what's bad now, right?
Yeah.
One guy.
Yeah. One guy. And what really stands out to me, I think what we have a tendency to do when we read the story of Noah, and it's there, and it mm-hmm. should be emphasized, is judgment. Mm-hmm. It's just yeah. judgment. That's all it is. But I'm convinced that you can look at almost every story in the Bible that looks like it's dark. It looks like it's in. It looks like there's no hope there. But there's always a glimmer of grace.
Yeah.
And to me, as I read this story over again and reread it this past, well, in preparation for this past Sunday, was really the story here is grace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Genesis 6.
God gave them a lot of time.
120 years.
Yeah.
Even in that Genesis 6, 8, as you come to the end of it, and my goodness, it's not a good picture of humanity. He says he saw that what was in their heart was only ever continually evil.
Right. There were no good thoughts.
That is not a good line.
No.
He says, so what I have to do is I have to start over. I have to reboot. Literally the word there is blot out.
Well, wipe and he clean. Rebooted all of creation.
Rebooted all of creation.
Not just the human world, right? Like all everything.
All of creation. But it says in Genesis 6, 8, but Noah found favor with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Now, it's really interesting to me because we look at, Noah, and we're like, Noah. I mean, there's the guy. Noah was not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. No. It was just that in comparison to the depravity and the evil of the rest of humankind, right. he kind of stood out, yeah.
Right, and I think it's where his heart was.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't that he was perfect. It was where his heart was to follow after God.
Yeah. Can we just take a time out right there on that one, by the way? I try to emphasize this so much with people. God is working to make us perfect.
Yeah.
Through his son, Jesus Christ. But we understand this side of eternity, we're never going to be a finished product and perfect. And what God really desires most from any of us is our obedience.
Yeah.
Is that we would surrender to him and follow him in anything he calls us to do. Yeah. And that's what it is about Noah. Noah is not perfect. He doesn't come to God and God go, wow, like you totally impressed me. No, God made Noah something.
Yeah. Noah was trying. He was trying to follow after God.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. He was. Yeah. I mean, for 120 years, I'm going to pound on this boat and I'm going to preach the word. I'm going to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
And God says, I honor that. And guys, I would say that for any of us, like, God is not asking, man, you got to be perfect or I'm just going, you're done. I'm going to zap you. No, guess who? What? Guess who is perfect and is perfect?
Yeah.
Jesus. He's our perfection for us. We in grace, get that from Jesus. Everything about Noah is only because of grace.
Yeah.
And faith. And obedience. And I just try to emphasize that with people. And that's what this story really has at the core of it is just be faithful.
Yeah.
Man, times are tough and times will be tougher. It's never going to get easier.
Right.
Okay, please understand that. It will never get easier.
So what you're saying is Noah didn't wake up every morning saying, gee, I really want to work on a boat.
No. He is like every last one of us who was just living life every single day saying, I mean, like, I'm just trying to think of something in my life. Exercise.
Mm.
I try to exercise and work out at least 4 to 5 times a week. But do I love that? Absolutely. There is not a shred of me to be like, I am so glad to be able to doing this. And I've heard a lot of people say this, this feeds into a lot of things with faith as well. Discipline, obedience, faithfulness.
Yeah.
That was Noah. That was so many people in the Bible that weren't perfect people. And again, you find out, we didn't talk about this at all, but when Noah gets off the ark, do you remember what Noah does?
He gets drunk.
He builds a vineyard, gets a little too much of the wine in him, and it doesn't end up pretty.
No.
You're like, oh, dang. I thought that's, and this is what we so often.
And you're left at the end of that with, this is the righteous guy that God just saved, right? Like, we are flawed.
But that's the point of all of it.
Yeah.
None of us are good. No. None of us, like, come to God and he's like, well, there it is. There is the, none of us are perfect.
Yeah.
Except for Jesus.
Yeah.
And we take that on us. We try so hard, I think, and we do this with the Bible so often. That's why I try to emphasize here at New Heights so often. The point of a story or an account or someone's life is not be a Noah.
Yeah.
Be an Abram. Yeah. It's about looking at character traits that they displayed in their life and said, that's what we go after. Not be that person. No, be that faithful. Be that devoted. Be that surrendered. Be that obedient.
Yeah.
Those are what God wants to build in us.
And in those stories, we also see a don't do that.
Yes, do not do that.
Do you see that? That was bad.
But anyways, back to what we were kind of talking about was what really stands out to me is the grace of God in this story. I think it's in 1 Peter that he says, God does not desire or wish that anybody should perish, but that we would come to a knowledge of him. And because of that, don't mistake his saying that he's just waiting too long and that he's never going to do anything. It's his patience, his long-suffering, that really is what shines.
Yeah.
And that shines in this.
There's a good reason he's not.
There is a good reason. There's a good reason he's not just blasting this earth and scorching it, you know? Yeah. So this is fascinating to me. So much grace in all of that, that God is waiting 120 years. He's saying, no, you got to preach this. People listen. And at the end of the day, how many people listen?
Just him and his family.
Him and the family. Eight people.
8 people total.
I just said that on Sunday. Like, I often pray to God, please don't let that be my lot in life. That I faithfully serve for how many ever years, and then I get to the end of it and be like, nobody that I really know of came to Christ. But that's the story of so many people, especially some of the earliest missionaries from the U.S. to places. They toiled and they sweat and they went through all kinds of dangerous situations and didn't see any fruit for years. 5 years, 6 years, 7 years.
And some of them after their death even.
Yeah. But that's the point, and that's a part of faith, is yeah. so many times in life, we go through things, and we experience things, and we have challenges, we're called by God to do something, we're faithful to do that, and man, we might go to the grave, and guess what? We never see it. Yeah.
Well, I think that's why the Bible is so closely linking faith to a seed, right? Like a seed you put in the ground, and you may forget you put it down there, right? Yeah. But all the time, it's going to produce fruit, right?
Yep.
And so being patient in that process.
Yep.
I think not only for people in ministry of being patient, that's something, especially, and you know this from being in youth ministry as well, you don't always see the fruit. You work at it. Noah was working at it. He didn't necessarily see the fruit of it.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that him and his family were saved.
Yep.
But being faithful anyway.
Yeah.
In spite of, and that's where our true faith comes and shines, right? Like, we know God has told us to do this. We may not understand why.
Yeah.
But we're going to do it because he said we
need to. And again, like, I love the image you use of a seed. A seed is just small and things start small. Yeah. And all God has asked is just take another step.
Take that step.
Just take one more step. I've heard it said this way, and
sometimes he doesn't give us the next step until we take that step.
Yeah, next week we'll talk about that with Abraham. I've kept this in my mind for a while now. I heard it, and it is so true, is that God doesn't call us to be popular, well-liked. He calls us to be faithful.
Yeah.
Above all, in everything. And one of the things I said this last Sunday was that if you are feeling squeezed and mocked and you feel like you're going against the flow of everything in this world, you're right where you need to be.
Congratulations.
Yeah. You're right where you need to be.
Yeah.
But we so often forget that and that element of just one more step.
Yeah.
One more step is all that God is asking. He's not asking us to be world beaters and do it all in one day.
Right. Well, and I think that's where where Satan, our enemy, kind of pushes in and discourages us, right? Like, the world's measures of success apply here.
Way different.
Right. And so when we go and we're faithful to God, but then we see someone else over here doing this huge thing, and it may be something, I'm no Billy Graham, right?
Hey, you're right.
No, you're right. You're not a Billy Graham.
There was a Billy Graham.
Right. God didn't call you to do that.
No.
And keeping in mind what God has called you personally to do, and it may not look significant, but not being discouraged about that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Because you don't know what God's going to do with that.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at, the mustard seed that Jesus talks about, right? Like, it's the smallest seed, but it grows into a huge tree.
Yeah, he says, that's all I'm asking for you at the bare minimum. Give me this much faith.
Just a little bit.
And watch what happens.
Yeah.
Faith and real and true belief, watch what happens. I think we have a tendency with the story of Noah and the ark and the flood to also say, too, well, I guess that means that I just need to go in and close myself off from everything that's bad. Well, now that was a pretty unique moment in history where God was calling them to do that. Surely do we run away from ungodly things and not allow that to influence us? But we also have, and again, segging a little bit to next week, we have a responsibility, a great, great responsibility to also bless the rest of the world around us. One of the last things I want to talk about here is the end of the story, which is this is what really struck me about the whole story, this covenant he makes with Noah and the rainbow. And I always thought, like, oh, that's really cutesy. Like, it makes for a good story when we go out and we see a rainbow. We're like, oh, that's God. No, really what that is there, and I made mention of this, the word in Hebrew there references and is really pointing towards a war bow.
Mm.
And again, what I had said, and this is again how everything points to Jesus, is we understand with a rainbow, it's arced, and that arc and that bow is pointed where?
Up.
Up towards heaven. And I think what God is trying to communicate, not just with that covenant, but with every covenant he makes and with every word that he speaks in the Bible, is I've already taken the pain, I've already taken the arrow. And he did that in his son, Jesus Christ. As Jesus, thousands of years later, would be hanging on a cross, he said that war bow is pointed towards him. He took those arrows. He took that sin. He took that pain so that you wouldn't have to. And I think, just like I said, this is just, it's all, every time, about grace.
Yeah.
And the goodness of God. And yes, guess what? Sin is nasty and it will be judged, and God hates sin. But he only does that because he cannot allow his creation to be stained in that way.
Yeah.
He loves his creation, he loves his people too much for that to be what defines our life.
Right.
And he says, I'll take that upon myself so that you can be made right and whole and a relationship can be established with me again. And he does that in his son, Jesus Christ. And again, that's the hope that we have, not just here and there or on Sunday mornings. That's the hope we have every single day of our lives, that we live in the reality that Jesus has come, that Jesus has died, that Jesus has rose again, that he took all of that pain and nastiness and sin upon himself so that we could be made right with God and have a relationship with him. And that's all we want for anybody, you know, whether it's a Sunday morning, whether it's a rap episode, whatever it may be. Our whole message and Christianity's whole message is and should be that there is hope.
Yeah.
There is hope every single day, that we would plead every single time that people would come to know Christ, surrender their lives to him, be made new.
Get in the ark.
Yeah, get in the ark at the end of the day. That's what we really try to say. So as always, we are so grateful. We are so honored that you would even take time to watch what we have to say.
Yeah.
But again, it's not really what we say. It's just what God's word is saying, what it's kind of what we're trying to say through us and God's word through us. And so we just ask that you always just kind of consider what just this particular story is saying, what we've talked about today, and what God might be saying in your life, that you would listen to him, be obedient, be faithful. Until next time, we will see you guys then.
We'll see you guys.